You drive down a street in Reno today on a Saturday, and you're hard-pressed to see any kids. They live on screens. That's the world we've made for them. They're inside. So on some of our screens, you can hear advertisements trying to encourage kids to go outside and play. You've seen those ads? Isn't that interesting? They spend all their time on screens, so we have screens now telling them they should get outside. Whatever. It's a strange world. But in my day, I was down at the school playing ball all day Saturday. I would trudge home on Saturdays because my muscles were so sore because I'd been running around all day at the school. And one of the things we did, we followed the seasons. We played football together in football season. We played basketball in basketball season. We played baseball in baseball season. And in baseball season, a lot of times people would show up at the school and there wouldn't be all that many kids. You know, three or four guys would be down there with their bats and balls and clubs. So we had this sort of three or four man baseball that we played over by the school building. We'd take turns stepping up to the plate made out of somebody's hat. And somebody would throw a pitch. Somebody else would be in the outfield and somebody would be hitting. And if you hit the ball past the pitcher, that was a single. If you hit the ball past the sidewalk, that was, you know, seemed a long way out there. It was probably like 50 feet out there. Then it was a double. If you rolled the ball all the way to the classroom wall that was out in the outfield, then that was a triple. If you actually hit the classroom wall, that was a home run. And if you hit the window in the classroom wall, that was a run home. Yeah. Yeah. I actually don't remember any of those, but I remember we thought we were pretty clever when we came up with that name, just in case. I don't think we ever broke a window. What's that?
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah. We'll have confession after the service for any window breakers out there. Yeah. Run and home are two key ideas from our Bible text for today. Paul's goal, as he expresses it, is not personal pleasure or religious accomplishment, but knowing Christ. Paul's confession is simply, I have not arrived yet. I must keep pressing on, straining forward, running the race of life in Christ as a good citizen of heaven. And this isn't a bad idea for me to remind you that we have these wonderful summer devotionals where you can hear testimonies, written testimonies from people in our church, people here, that will tell you about their own lives and how God has called upon them to keep running, even in difficult circumstances at times. I encourage you to pick one of these up if you haven't already and read. Any of you ever been to a toddler t-ball game? Some, yeah, you've been, okay, you've been here. Yeah. See, in toddler t-ball, one of my observations is that there are two basic problems. There's a lot of problems, but two really basic ones. Problem number one is the problem of run. They forget to run. Coaches and parents are going to remind them with great enthusiasm, go, go, run, first base is that way, go, go. Second is the home problem. Once in motion, they forget where they're going. What's the point? Where's home? They forget where they came from, where they're going. They forget where home is. Paul's concern is kind of like this. He's concerned that people forget to run. He's concerned that people forget where home is. We naturally forget where we came from and where we're going. That is the condition that we're in after the fall. So our challenge, like that of the Philippians 2,000 years ago, is simply this. Run. But our comfort, waiting to be discovered, is also like theirs. Home. Run. The Christian life is not a calling to be a spiritual couch potato. We're called to be pilgrims, not settlers. In our faith, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we stand firm by running hard. Chapter 4, verse 1, we ended with this. Stand firm thus in the Lord. It's a good summary for verses 12 through 21 with its running language of straining forward and pressing on. We must move on from being merely batting cage Christians or t-ball believers. We must also avoid the trap of perfectionism. Listen, we don't arrive here on earth. Whatever else we're doing here on earth, we don't arrive. We're always supposed to be moving. What do? Well, Paul suggests, first, forget the past. Forget past failures. That's good news, by the way. Forget past successes. Not quite as good a news there. But somebody once said that the great enemy of success tomorrow is success today. Then look ahead and move forward as fast as you can. At the pace that God and you have set together, the pace that God has for you, it may not be the same as somebody else. It won't be the same as somebody else. But keep moving. Run. Run toward the goal. We've been called to Jesus and so toward heaven by the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God has also put us here in his time to run and win the prize that he is giving us. What Paul says about himself at the outset of this section of his letter gives us an amazing view of what is going on. I press on to make it my own, he says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Did you catch that? We will make it. Jesus has made us his own. Past tense. Done deal. We can't lose. So press on. Strain forward. Run. Run listening for God's direction. Verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So a little parenthetical remark here I can't help. You know, read that verse again the next time you're tempted to respond to some incendiary text or blog or something that somebody has sent to you about politics in America or some other interesting thing, and you feel the blood pressure going up, and you can see your face getting red even though you don't have a mirror, and you want to start typing back. What a great thought here. Well, you think how you think, but I trust in God to lead you to think the way you should and for me to think the way I should. And leave it at that. Paul clearly affirms that our God is alive and active, giving guidance as we are on the move. Run always forward in intention and effort. Verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's talk about home. Home. Listen, not here on earth. Don't run after earthly things, possessions, pleasures, here today and gone tomorrow things. Don't run after the illusion of self-righteous self-justification through earthbound religious ritual or rule-keeping. Following these ways, we will run ourselves ragged and never arrive. And what is worse, we will be ignoring or denying our need for Jesus, and so prove to be what Paul calls enemies of the cross. Our citizenship is in heaven. As Chris reminded us earlier, this was a very important concept, this concept of citizenship, for the people living in Philippi. They enjoyed many political privileges as a city where important battles had been won and where retired veterans of the Roman military were encouraged to settle. Nice as our town may be, like the biggest little city in the world, heaven is our real and lasting home. Home, where Jesus did and will come from. But our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Home. It's where we will go to. Home base can't be found on our playing field, but God, through Paul, promises we will still get there. home, where we will be transformed fully and finally. The Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Our citizenship is solid. God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus and enabled us to get there. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Savior. Jesus is our Savior because he saved us, and his work for us is done. What Paul says about himself at the outset of this section of his letter is profound. Let me say it again. From Paul, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. If this is true, and it is, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all our pressing on toward Jesus meaningful, valuable, and victorious. With God, nothing is wasted. We will make it. Jesus has made us his own. Not mind your P's and Q's, do it right, and maybe Jesus will make you his own. Not at all. Jesus has made us his own. Past tense, done deal. We can't lose. So press on. Strain forward. Run. It was a dark Friday afternoon in the spring at a place called Golgotha outside Jerusalem. One man steps up to the plate made of a Roman cross. Bases were loaded. Bottom of the ninth. Down by three. Two outs. Full count. Satan's pitch? Real heat. And it hit him between the eyes. And our swing? A wicked and deadly cut. Struck him in the back at just the same moment and knocked him clean out of the park. But he came back from deep center and he ruled our hit a home run for us. Game over. Victory. Rejoice and run. Life in Christ is like the run home after the winning home run. To know authentic joy is to feel God's pleasure. And to feel God's pleasure, we must run. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for being with us today here in your house. Lord, help us to follow after Paul, to keep pressing on, keep straining forward, to not allow the disappointments, challenges that are part of this life to derail us or sideline us, or to suggest that we'd be better off if we just stopped and sat down spiritually. But Lord, help us to keep running toward you, running in the ways that you call us to do, that we would be built up, that you would be honored and glorified, but also, Lord, that we might feel in greater measure your pleasure and so real joy. I pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. I encourage you now to take out your prayers and praises page in your covenant connection. I encourage you to use this page. Put it up on your refrigerator, on your nightstand, and use it as part of your own prayer life during the week, praying for those who have asked us to pray for them. Join me. Lord God, it is a privilege for us to pray for one another. Lord, to look to you as we do, we believe and we're grateful that our faith is strengthened, that we know that the God we are to turning to and speaking with in prayer is a God who knows us, cares for us, cares about those for whom we pray. Lord, remind us as we pray today of who you are and what you have done and the privilege that you give us of partnering with you in your redemptive work in the world and in people's lives. So, Lord, we pray once again for our church. Lord, we're grateful for Bobby Gospel. Thank you for bringing him to us and for the answer to prayer that we've been praying for quite some time for leadership for our youth. Now, Lord, we pray once again for leadership for our church family and a new pastor, one that we believe you have already found and selected. Now, Lord, we need to figure that out and they need to figure that out. And so we embark on a search process. We ask for your blessing in that. Help us to join together in enthusiasm for you and for what you've done and what you are doing and what you are going to be doing through your church here at Covenant. Lord, we pray for those who are experiencing health difficulties, for Jan and for Nike, for Shirley. Lord, we pray for the Shield family, the loss of George. Pray for our neighbors next door, asking again for your blessing for them, for that place. Lord, we pray for those serving in the military, that you would watch over them. You know each one by name. We know some. Hear us now, Lord, as we share together in the special prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.